In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Please be seated. The Feast of the Holy Trinity is one of those feasts where pastors are tempted to stand in the pulpit and give you an extended dogmatic lecture on the inner workings of the Holy Trinity. When pastors do so, and the temptation is real, let me tell you. When pastors do so or feel tempted to do so, usually those who sit in the pew tend to think one thing. It's a response if you watch Family Feud with Steve Harvey. You hear him say frequently when one of the contestants says something rather silly or is a non sequitur. They'll give an answer, and he'll look at them and go, huh? That's pretty much what you in the pew think when and if I should ever go into an extended dialogue with you about the inner workings of the Holy Trinity. It's enough to make a person say, huh? What does that mean? It's exactly the same way that Nicodemus approaches our Lord. Do you notice that Nicodemus goes to our Savior at night? If he goes during daylight, someone might see him, which means that he loses favor among his own people, and he might even get in trouble as a leader of one of his people. So he sneaks in and talks to Jesus late at night, and he has questions, like you and I have questions. Boy, do we ever have questions of our Savior. The first of these questions Jesus brings up by getting right down to brass tacks. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That, by the way, is the thrust of what it means to be born again, a phrase that entered into our vocabulary when President Carter ran for president in the mid-70s, when he kept saying that he was a born-again Christian. Sometimes when we think of a born-again Christian, we think you're sitting on the Davenport watching television, and all of a sudden you have this mysterious thought that just pops into your head about God, and now all of a sudden you're born again, as if you weren't born the first time. You were born the first time. It's called your natural birth. So this business of being born from above is your second birth. We sing about it in our beloved Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Born to give us Jesus' second birth. That happens right there at the font. That's what Jesus is talking about. Unless someone is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Maybe that's what Nicodemus came to talk to our Savior about. And that's why Jesus hits him with this before Nicodemus can even hit him with a question. To which Nicodemus's first question is an obvious one. You mean to tell me that I have to climb back up into my mother's birth canal and come back through it again? Can you imagine someone like me doing that to my mother, who is still with us, almost 90 years old? My mother, who has dementia, would probably snap out of her dementia really quick when her 51-year-old son tries to climb back up into the birth canal. No, that's not the kind of birth that we're talking about here, Nicodemus. Truly, truly, I say to you, and when Jesus gives the double truly, the double amen, you better pay attention. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. And then Jesus goes into an example about the wind. If we try to chase after the wind, we don't know where it is coming from, and we don't know where it is going unless it blows. You ever wanted to walk against the wind and try to figure out from where this thing is coming from? Maybe it's a picture of God with a big bushy beard, cloud-like beard, and he's blowing. That's not really how wind works, but it's a pious thought. So it is, Jesus says, with everyone who is born of the Spirit. What does this have to do with Holy Trinity? and the feast of the Holy Trinity, which we celebrate today. It has everything to do with it. And that's why Nicodemus' second question is, how can these things be? What does this mean? It's a great Lutheran question. It's the right question to ask. For Nicodemus to say, how can these things be, is to open up and be a learner. I am now ready to learn because you have exhausted every avenue that I was going to go down, Lord. How can these things be? That's our posture before Jesus, whether it's picking up a Bible, whether it's studying the small catechism, whether it's even sitting in the pew and listening to a sermon. How can these things be? That is the best way to describe the inner workings of the Holy Trinity, beloved. How can these things be? They are. It's not something that you and I can understand. I could stand here and try to explain it to you the best I could, and you would probably, again, answer like Steve Harvey. Huh? You said what, Pastor? I could use fancy theological terms to talk about all of these things, and it wouldn't really make any sense, because if you haven't read up on it, huh? We have the witness. That's what we can go with. The witness of Holy Scripture. We have a God who creates out of nothing. We have a God who fearfully and wonderfully makes everything, including yourself, and he sets it into order. There are some greater things, there are some lesser things. The greatest of his seen creation is man. He sets man in a place and says, you'll be taken care of. If that's not enough, he gives man a companion, a woman, for she came from man. And together, they live as people given to by a giving God. But then there's a son. There was always a son. And the son became man because of sin. A promise was made to Satan, to the man, to the woman. My son, the seed of the woman, will come. And he will put right what was wrong. And then he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he sends the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He sends the Spirit into this world to use men to proclaim this word. He places the Spirit in all of us through this word with water in our baptism, uniting us with the death and resurrection of Jesus and making us, you and me, his precious children. He loves you. That's how he loves you. He sends his Son into the flesh, so that all who believe in him shall never die, but they shall live. For you see, you've had the second birth. So when you undergo the first death, so what? You live. We will see you again. And our hearts will rejoice. For when we see you again, we'll see Jesus. And we'll see Jesus for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Really hard to fathom. Another thing that makes you say, huh? Because it's a life unlike what we have here. How can these things be? They are opened up to us in the Word. We approach this Word with great fear and trembling, knowing it is God's Word to us, his revelation to us. And we pick it up and we read it, and by Leviticus, we're ready to throw it against the wall. And then Pastor invites me to Bible study, where we get to sit down and work with this book that I can't make heads or tails out of, because it's not like a novel. From Don Quixote forward, you can pick up most books and read them like books, because it has, it's like a fairy tale. Once upon a time, there was such and such and so, and they lived and they did this, and this thing happened, and then that thing happened, and then there was trouble, but they got through the trouble because they found a way through the trouble, or more than likely someone got them through the trouble, and you know how it finishes, and they all lived happily ever after. But not the Bible. You want to read it that way? I've got a way that you can read it like a novel, but you're going to have to do a lot of slipping, stitching, and passing to get there. Because after the Tower of Babel, that we heard about in last week's Old Testament reading, you got to zip ahead to Job. Job, that's like a fourth of the way through the Old Testament. I got to zip forward, read that whole thing, which also doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then I got to zip back to Genesis. If you want to read it chronologically like a novel, yeah, that's the way you go. Well, there's some Psalms thrown in early too, because there are Psalms that date back to the time of Moses, if not before. Everything is out of order when you read through the scriptures. That's why it's enough to make people want to throw the book against the wall. That's why it's enough to make people say, I can't go to Bible study. I'll show my ignorance. That's okay. We always could use another ignorant person at Bible study, because guess who's teaching it? The big ignorant himself. How can these things be? They are. Can you explain it? Not really well. Got to go with what God's word says. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work for you. That's what they do. They make, they redeem, they keep you holy. Do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet they are not, as we'll confess in just a little bit, they are not three gods, but one God. Huh? Yeah, me too. But then that huh turns into huh. When we keep our eyes focused on Christ, when we read about him in his word, when we hear preaching, when we eat and drink his precious body and blood, when we sing hymns, it all starts to click together after a while. Will it be a perfect knowledge? Not this side of the grave. But it will all start to click together. And you will see the working of the Trinity in your life, in the church's life. For God is here to teach, to draw you ever closer to him, to keep you with him, even when the world and your own sinful nature and Satan himself throws every arrow they can to get you away. The Holy Spirit will keep you close. You ever wonder how Nicodemus felt when he left the presence of Christ after that conversation? I bet he had a lot of questions. He may even have had a few doubts on his mind. Questions? That's great. Doubts? We struggle with a lot of things this side of paradise. I know I do. The answers, however, you'll not get all of them this side. You can be like me and want to save them up and ask Jesus in the life of the world to come. But the thing about the life of the world to come is you'll have perfect knowledge of God. All sin will be stripped away from you. The unknown will become known. You'll know better than you ever did. And so all questions will be answered. Jesus says in that day, you will ask me nothing. You'll get it. It's okay to wonder. Nicodemus did, and he probably left with more questions than answers. The answer that matters here is God at work for you. With that, we are satisfied. We may not be totally satisfied, but we're satisfied. God is at work for me. He baptized me. He feeds me with his son's precious body and blood. He has placed into my hands the Holy Scriptures. God takes care of me. And that's how he loves me. He loves me in Jesus. And put his name on me. Huh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.